let's thank him for his abundant and unlimited grace, because we would not be able to relate to him or understand him without the Holy Spirit and his purpose for us and in us. And we just receive his grace now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I was doing some messages on the heart that God gave us, the prophets, Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And I'm not going to get into those scriptures, but they foretold the new covenant and the coming of Christ and what that covenant is all about. It's all about the heart of man and God giving us, taking out the stony heart and giving us a new heart of flesh. So we, you know, when the Bible talks about a new creation, it talks about putting on the new man, it talks about a new heart. I want to talk about the new heart that is the true heart. Okay. I'm certainly grateful that the Holy Spirit has really done a work in me in the area of having a true heart. And not saying that I'm totally there or perfected in that. But a new heart is a true heart. And it talks about that in Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to go through these scriptures. I'd like to go through all of them in this teaching, by the way. When I come up here, I think I've got 5 minutes worth of notes, and I can't get past the first page. That's usually how it works, you know. So, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And I just want to stop right there. Once you understand that God loves you with an eternal love, and he's given us his love, and we have that same capacity to love him back and love others, your assurance level in your relationship with God becomes perfected. I think one of the things that people struggle with the most is feeling secure, feeling assurance. And when I say assurance, I'm talking about God puts within us by his Holy Spirit something eternal. It's an eternal covenant. It's an eternal assurance that comes from that covenant. And we find eternal security in Christ. Okay, all of that insecurity is overcome, and we rest in his love. And that's what I want to try and help you work towards today, is understanding what a true heart is. You know, we think about life itself and the idea that it's hard for us to understand perfection in life, especially when it comes to relating to people. But we have a God who is love, and he is perfect, and he has a perfect love for us. If we could understand it in that way, that he has a love for us, okay, that it never fails. Now, I realize there's at times we, in and of ourselves, feel that, oh, man, I tried to do this, or I prayed about this, and, you know, God let me down. God has not let you down. Sometimes you fail to trust him in everything and turn it all over to him. And that's why sometimes we try and do things that God is not in, or they are not his will for us to do. And then when they don't work out, we feel that we ask the question, where is God? You know, I'm sure we've all done that. But he has a true love for us, and in that true love, he, like the old, I don't know, it's not a movie, but it was a, what would we call it? Father's Knows Best. And, we really have to learn to come to the end of ourselves and realize that God knows exactly what is best for us. And you get to a point where you try and avoid conflicts of interest because you come to a point where you're yielded, you're still, and you have a heart that believes in God's true love for you, that it's best, and you have a strong desire to yield everything to God and turn everything over to God, turn every decision over to God, turn every desire over to God, because sometimes we have desires that are in a conflict with God. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And as we go through life, and of course, life has a tendency to, it looks like it goes wrong, and we just have to, Job made a profound statement that I could never understand, and some people would misunderstand it. Job said, though he slay me, I will trust him. Now, I don't want to argue with you about that, other than I know that it was the devil that did all this to Job. But one of the beautiful examples that the Bible tells us to follow in the book of James is Job. And I'm not going to talk about Job right now. That's one of my favorite books, by the way. But in spite of everything that he suffered, he had the integrity, he had assurance in his heart. He knew the integrity of God. He knew that God loved him in spite of everything that went wrong. And of course, the beautiful story of Job was the maturity and the restoration that came out of his suffering and trials. They did not destroy him. They perfected him and they promoted him. Well, think about it. Who do you know that lived 140 years? And had twice as much restored to him as in the beginning. I just want to say, God is not leaving you, in your trial. He is bringing you through it, and it is resulting in his constructive purpose in your heart. And personally, I've learned through trials that everyone that I've gone through and am going through, I see a maturity and a perfection taking place in my heart. Okay, and so having a true heart is number one, knowing that God is true and that he loves you. I have that, I have a witness in my spirit that God is true, just like Job did. Okay, Job couldn't understand it. Okay, and sometimes we don't understand what's going on, but there's something deep within me that knows that God is true. His love for me is true. It's a true love. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Now, I understand he doesn't give us everything we want in this life. And if he did, it would probably at times, hinder our relationship with God. We've got to learn to trust God to the point, and that may be something I want to talk about next week. But we have to learn to trust Him, and no matter what happens, I've never lost anything that I did not experience a higher gain, and maybe that higher gain was the work of the Holy Spirit to perfect my heart, to perfect me inside. Okay, so it's never, His love never fails. Say it with me, His love never fails. Now, sometimes we fail to respond to the truth of His love, and then that's where we end up getting confused about God. But if you just use that one reality, that God loves you and His love will never, it's a perfect love. Is there anything perfect in this world? Yes, there is. There is a perfect God. There is a perfect redemption. There is a perfect promise of that redemption. And it's eternal in nature. Okay. God never fails. And, one thing I found out about God's love is that when I know that love in a mature way, it's the only power that enables me to overcome fear. These profound statements about God's love, where it says perfect love will cast out fear because fear has torment. Many times that saved me from the circumstance I was in. I believe God had a perfect love for me, and I resisted the temptation to give in to my circumstance and give in to fear. And it's always brought me through in life. You're going to have to face the spirit of fear in life. There's no way around it. It's here in this world, and it is causing torment in people. Okay, now you're not with the reality of God's love in your heart, okay, and the reality of that full assurance in your heart, you are not a victim to fear. Refuse to practice fear. Yes. Refuse to give in to the spirit of fear. Okay. I have eternal assurance in Christ. He's not only my Savior, but I understand that the whole truth about redemption is it is a love relationship. Okay, it's a love relationship. That's why I'm really strong on the idea of learning to draw near. Now, learning to draw near is not, we're going to talk about that, and it's not a legal action. It's an act of love. I'll get up in the morning, I'll just sit somewhere quiet. That's the first thing I do, is I just get still, and then I connect with God. And there have been times where I had such pleasure by just encountering His presence. when you talk about, His presence or His face, that doesn't mean you're going to see Him physically. That word, seek his face, means seek his presence. That's what it means. When it said Moses saw God face to face, if you look that word up, he was with God presence to presence. Okay, we can have that right now in this life if you just take the time to realize that it's that simple. He's there. Everybody say, he's here.
He's here.
He's in me.
He's in me.
And he's now.
And he's now.
Okay. Okay, you need to take the time to connect, okay, to that. Now, I want to get through some of this. So, you know, the Bible obviously talks about the new man that has the new heart, and I won't, but you have, because you're the new man with the new heart, and your heart has been changed, and you have the fruit of his love in your heart. Just like the scripture talks about the heart, it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's not our heart at all. Now, a new heart is not legal, but it's loving. Okay. You can fulfill legal obligations without a true heart of love for God. You know, I remember that, you know, sometimes in the church, I won't, but hour in, hour out, I fulfilled my obligation. But there was absolutely no relationship there. It was just a legal attempt to earn one's salvation. So it's not based on performance. You know, the Bible talks about people that, you know, worship God with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. You can have an outward performance, but you can lack the reality of a relationship with his inward love. God's all about your heart. That's why he gave you a new heart, so that you could... That's why he reconciled you, so you could love. Okay, love him with, you know, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Okay, this isn't going to fail. This isn't going to fail. Okay, just not going to happen. Okay, it's an eternal love and it's perfect. Now, we know that 1 Corinthians deals with the issue. Let's just go there real quick. 1 Corinthians 13, if we could. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, okay, and have not love, that word charity means love, I am become a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Okay. Okay. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it will not have any eternal value in it because it's all self-righteous. Sounds kind of funny, you know, if you tried to tell somebody it's not your righteousness that's going to get you out of this world into heaven. But that's what the world, that's how they do it. Let's go to the next verse. Love suffers long, is kind. How many know that in this life you're going to have to learn to suffer long? That is a fruit of the Spirit, long suffering. It does not envy. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, you know what? If somebody has some kind of success, rejoice with them. Never envy someone because it looks like they have more than you. You know, don't get into that worldly, carnal attitude. Charity does not puff its, does not puff itself up. I guess that is the King James Version. Is not puffed up. Let's go on. Does not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not its own. Okay. How many, times have you ever related to people where they were seeking their own? That was the reason that they were relating to you. And they really didn't have God's love. It was what they could get from you. And as soon as that ended, they were gone. Okay, now I have a relationship with God where he's not going to, I think one of the biggest fears that a person could have is abandonment. You know, a lot of people have been abandoned. Some people have been abandoned by their parents, their relatives. They were in what they thought, they were depending on what they thought were great relationships, and all of a sudden, they couldn't believe what happened. They totally failed because they were not based on a true heart of God's love for you. Okay. I know, that God isn't going to pull the rug out from under me. You understand what I'm saying? That God will not pull the rug out from under you. Sometimes you're surprised that relationships fail. Now, why did God forgive us? And why should we learn to forgive others and try our best to reconcile the offense and remain in a love relationship? I think God is really pleased with that. So it's not based on a lot of the things that people make it. It's not based on performance. And then the Bible talks about people relating to God through carnal commandments. I'm going to keep carnal commandments and think that that's going to please God and I'm going to earn my way his acceptance when my heart isn't really, it's far from God. Okay. So then the world relates in legal contracts. That's all they have. But the Bible says the law makes nothing perfect. We have a better covenant. We'll look at that before we close. The law operates on legal contracts, and God's love operates on the reality of his eternal covenant with us. Okay, we have a blood covenant. It's eternal. It not only gave us the assurance of God's love in this life, but it gave us the assurance of God throughout all eternity. That's why the Bible says it's a great salvation. I mean, it's a... I can go sit down somewhere in my yard or whatever and rest in his love. Hello, somebody. Knowing that God is not angry at me. I don't mean he doesn't correct me, but he's not angry at me. He does correct me, and I'm grateful for it, because if he didn't, I would truly go astray if I didn't have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 7:15-18. We're gonna get through a couple more scriptures. We're not And it is yet far more evident, for that after the multitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of carnal commandments, but after the power of endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is truly a disannulling of the commandment. Okay, that's why the law passed away, because God brought it in to prove that man in and of himself couldn't keep it. Going before the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. Okay, let's go to verse 19. Or is that it? Was that all we had on that one? Yeah, it was. Okay. So what is the, you know, what is the better hope? I like the scripture, and I don't know where it was, or did I have it? Is it in verse 19? No. Okay, I want to quote a scripture, and I thought I had it written down. So listen very carefully. The Bible says, it's one of my favorite scriptures, because it says the law, there it is, hallelujah. I knew we had the most important one down. The law made nothing perfect. Now I'm going to just tell you right now, and people use all these laws, okay, in life And I'm not advocating some of it doesn't work, you know. Okay. They don't have Christ, but they understand how laws work, and so they can succeed in some things with that. And I probably should have explained that a little bit better to you. You know, there's laws that govern, you know, you can be a diligent person, and you can succeed that way. But and sometimes then people have all these series of teaching, and they don't mention Jesus Christ. Okay. And then you're a slave to having to be doing this all the time to get success. I'm going to tell you something. Christ is your success. Now, it says that the law made nothing perfect, but bringing in a better hope did. I want to stop right there. What is that better hope? I just want to ask the question. What is that better hope? By which we draw near unto God. And sometimes that's was the best thing I could do, to just stop struggling and receive the better hope of Christ in us, our hope of glory. Okay? That's the better hope. It was a mystery hidden through the ages and generations, but is now revealed to the saints. Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, and I just, Lord, I just come to you and turn it over to you. You're my hope of glory. Okay. Philip's translation says, puts it this way, the secret is simply this, Christ in you is Christ in you, bringing with him the hope of all the glorious things that he promised in the present and all the glorious things he promised to come. Okay. You know, our covenant with him is established on better promises. If it goes on to say that the hope of glory is the fulfillment of God's promise to provide and restore us and all creation. Now we think about the creation that Bob and Kathy were showing here today. It's beautiful. But you know what? There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth.
Amen.
Okay. Everything will be once again reconciled in perfect harmony with God himself through Jesus Christ. And we right now have a perfect Savior and a perfect salvation and the potential of having a perfect relationship with him, or at least maturing in this lifetime in the most important thing that we exist for, and that's our relationship with Jesus Christ. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. So I don't mind dying, because I have assurance of where I'm going to be when I'm gone. Boy, it'd be great to go somewhere where the devil doesn't exist, wouldn't it?
Hallelujah!
And where we have God's perfect love, and everybody there is walking in a mature, perfect love. Wow! We don't have any concept of that right now. You know, like the scripture says, we don't really know right now what we shall be, but when we see him, we will be like him. We're going to see some of our loved ones there that received Christ. They didn't relate to us perfectly. I'm looking forward, you know, to seeing some people on the other side of silence. But I'm not forgetting relationships now. Sometimes it's a struggle, but to me it's worth trying to grow with people in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay. And so that's the whole, the new covenant, of course, we learned is a, and I'm almost done here, but it is a heart covenant. It is a heart covenant. Say a heart covenant.
A heart covenant.
It's not a legal covenant. It is not a performance-based covenant. It is heart to heart, where not only Christ gave you his entire heart and all of his love, and now we love him because he first loved us. We have that same love to give back to him and to give to others. Okay. We're not partial in the way we give it. We're not asking people to give us something back in return when we love them. I'm going to tell you something. We used to listen to a song one time that I don't know who sang it, and it was a good song. It was, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." Not just for some, but for everyone. There isn't a shortage. There's just a shortage of people receiving it, living in it, and walking in it. There's no shortage. You are here to love God and to love others. That is why you exist. And God gives us the total grace to do it without fear of failing in a relationship or being rejected in a relationship. We got to get past all that nonsense. You will be rejected. You will be rejected. You will be rejected by Christians. I never read the book, but the title sounded interesting, Crucified by Christians. If you're a pastor very long, you're going to be crucified by Christians. Okay. I mean, that's just that's the reality of life, but I'm going to tell you something. God's grace is sufficient. Amen. It does not matter what you go through. God's love will not fail.
Amen.
And so let's take our closing scripture in Hebrews chapter 8. Let's look at this new covenant in his blood. But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant which was established. Now, this is how the covenant was established, on better promises. So we have a covenant, and we have a responsibility to renew our mind on the covenant promises. They're eternal in nature, and they're perfect promises. They have not failed. We've just failed to appropriate them. Amen. I mean, we really have, and I'm not calling you a failure. But you need to learn what these promises are. You need to put a value on this covenant, okay? And people just don't put a value on it, okay? Because they don't understand what they have. Someday you're going to wake up and understand even the relationships The people that, you know, God sent in your life. You didn't understand what you had. Sometimes you found out after they were dead. Because there's nothing more important than relationships. I wish that, you know, I mean, we chase everything else. Let's go to verse 7. For the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For in finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws. Now, he's going to put laws in our minds. We need to renew our minds so that we can have the mind of Christ, right? Okay. And write them where? Where in the table of their heart. It is a heart covenant. It is not a legal covenant. It is not based on law. It is based on the power of his grace to transform one's heart. And I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them on their hearts. He's going to write them. I'm going to tell you something. When God writes something, it's written. You can go all these things, you know, they show on the Travel Channel where they got all the ancients had all these writings on there, and they're there hundreds or maybe thousands of years later. This is an act of God that has become eternal.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Eternal. Eternal writings that can never be erased. Hallelujah. Never. Okay, let's go on. We're going to close here in a moment, but let's. I will write them on their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me my people. So we just we understand sonship. We understand, it's all there. Okay, there's absolutely zero reason to be afraid or to be insecure about your relationship with God and about walking through a troubled world. Let's stand up. Thank you for your undivided attention.